Today on It's So Bad, we discuss a game that is filled with savage action and dynamic violence and is more exciting than anything put to paper by Jules Verne. Will humanity survive, or is it doomed? Find out today when we discuss Godzilla Save the Earth.
Welcome. Chris, thank you for that lovely introduction.
Anytime.
It's our first ever guest introduction on the podcast. You're joined by Matt this evening.
My favorite Godzilla movie is the Matthew Broderick one, and I'm glad he made an appearance in this game.
I don't want anybody to die in this episode.
Well, I guess the hottest takes happened in the first 45 seconds.
Wait, did Matthew Broderick appear in Save the Earth?
No, 2000 Godzilla, though, did.
1998. Godzilla.
Yeah, whatever it was. Yeah, yes, 2000.
But then Matthew Broderick's character went off to have his character continued, but voiced by another character in Godzilla the series, which was the unofficial canon sequel to Godzilla 1998.
Was it animated?
It was, and it was fantastic. It was a Saturday morning cartoon. God, what was his name? The rich kid from 90210. Zachary? No, the one with like the blonde Jerry curl.
I don't know. 90210? Come on.
He had a carryover role to Godzilla the series.
They made two Game Boy Color games, Godzilla the series and then Godzilla the series Monster Wars, which are terrible.
Yes,
games.
They are terrible. Unfortunately, we're not talking about those today. They're side-scrolling rail shooters.
Have we said the name of the game we're talking about?
No.
Well, I said in the intro.
Godzilla Save the Earth. Which is a 2004 PS2 game that Chris recommended to add to our endless list, which we are doing today. We are adding Godzilla Save the Earth, which is the second game in the series of Godzilla games that
came. The Atari. Yeah. Pipeworks collaboration.
It was on Xbox too. Right?
No,
it was. It was an Xbox Live.
It was PS2, Xbox 360
features. Yeah,
I own both. So no. I think this we have to give a little bit disclaimer to this episode that I am a very fanatic, hardcore Godzilla fan.
And you have a podcast called The Podcast from Odo Island, ODO Island.
Yes,
that you do.
Yes, so I have been a Godzilla fan
with my arch nemesis.
How do you get there? How frequently do you travel there to do the podcast?
Every other week. We discuss a new kaiju-related movie every other week.
What was the last one? I don't remember the last one.
Well, depending on when this comes out, it will either be King Kong was our New Year's episode.
2014?
No. 1933.
That movie is great. I watched that movie like 2 years ago, and it's still a good movie.
Fantastic movie.
And even the special effects are really good. The Godzilla or the King Kong face.
The stop motion. We have a whole thing about
like they have like the big puppet they have. That is like scary as fuck.
Yeah, the puppet effects I feel like are like the least important special effects that happen in that movie. I feel like the rear projection and the stop motion effects are probably the most important.
Okay, well, you are.
Listen to the episode for more details. So depending on when this is released, it'll either be King Kong 1933 or Godzilla 2000, who does appear in this video game.
Yep.
Wait, so Godzilla 2000 is different than Godzilla 1998?
Godzilla 2000 is, yes.
Oh, boy, buckle up.
I'm going to sit back.
Buckle up. So, okay. So, we are going to be talking about Godzilla Saves the Earth, which is a video game that does encapsulate, at the time, and it's released in 2004, encapsulates all monsters or kaiju from all of the three, at the time, major timelines in Godzilla fandom. So
did it start with the Showa era?
So, there's the Showa era, the Heisei era, and then there's the Millennium era, which of Godzilla 2000.
And those are referred to as the, Japan has different eras?
Prime Ministers.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
So there's the Showa Prime Minister, Heisei Prime Minister, Millennium. There's obviously not Prime Minister, Millennium. But the Godzilla
did
series.
Did you say Prime Minister?
Yeah, of Japan.
Or, yeah.
No, it's like they have.
They have an emperor and they have a prime minister.
No, right. But they have eras that aren't like prime ministers.
Right, and it's based on their rulership. But anyway, when it comes to the Millennium, like so. in Godzilla fandom, there's the Showa series, which is 15 connected films. And then there is the Heisei series, which is a reboot starting in the 80s through the 90s, which is a separate timeline. And then you have the Millennium timeline, which this game came out smack dab in the late end of which all the movies in the Millennium series, except for the two Mechagodzilla movies, are standalone movies. So you have Godzilla 2000 representing the Millennium series, and you have Godzilla Heisei representing the 80s to 90s series, what they call them, Godzilla 90s in the movies. And then you have a litany of Showa-era monsters in this Godzilla game.
Those are like the guys in big costumes, right? Like,
well, they were all that. They were all the outside of Godzilla 98.
They're the old ones, right?
Yeah, but they did Suitmation for all the Godzilla movies up until in Japan, at least. Anyway, they did Suitmation for every Godzilla movie up until 2016. It's very fantastic Shin Godzilla.
So Godzilla 2000 is that
Suitmation.
Is that like SimCity 2000, where it didn't actually happen in 2000? It was,
well,
Godzilla's, like, what is the Matthew Broderick Godzilla?
So, okay, so
is that 98 or 90s or 2000?
So the Matthew Broderick Godzilla was released in 1998, and so you have to understand that, like, when
is he a character in this game? Is what I'm saying.
No, he's not. No,
that
he's
character's not a.
There's
that
no
Godzilla's. Oh,
there's
really?
No reference to that character.
Oh,
no,
that's whack.
Separate.
So
I will also say too that the era names for Japanese eras refer to the emperor at the time. So we're currently in the Reiwa era that just ended in April, or just started in April. Before that, we had the Heisei. And then before that, we had the Showa.
Right. So the Reiwa era encapsulates Shin Godzilla in the three animated movies. They retroactively applied Shin Godzilla to the Reiwa.
Shin Godzilla is pretty good if you want to watch a movie.
If I want to watch a movie.
Shit. Fucked.
This game's all right.
Yeah, it's a fun. I mean, I guess I'm gonna have a very different view in this game than I think I'm gonna have from you guys. And I think I'm gonna put out here now that when we come to the game rankings, I'm actually gonna step away from the game rankings, and not be part of it, because
I will say so I understand. You are the Godzilla guy. I get it. I will say that this game is in a lineage of games like King of the Monsters, especially King of the Monsters 2. Which is kind of like you're battling another kaiju in a city setting.
Yeah. They're like 3D arena brawler.
Right. Games. Well, this game is King of the Monsters is 2D, but it's like in a 3D plane. You're like a beat 'em up style thing. Destroy All Monsters Melee is probably the best known of these games.
I think this one's probably the better known of the ones.
Was Destroy All Monsters, was that like licensed or was that all made up?
Well, no, Destroy All Monsters Melee was the first. So this game is part of a trilogy. Right. So Save the Earth, it's Destroy All Monsters Melee, which was on GameCube and then ultimately on Xbox.
And on PS2.
And then this one, well, no, Destroy All Monsters Melee never made it to PS2.
Oh, okay.
So this one was PS2 and 360. And then the final game in the trilogy was Godzilla Unleashed, which was on the Wii and PS2. And that game was notoriously unpolished compared to the first two, and they also had like similar title games that were on like the DS and stuff like that. Like they're not different. They're different games.
There's a lot of different characters in this game. A lot of different kaiju you can take control of.
Yeah, there's like what, three or four Godzillas?
There are three. There's Space Godzilla and Godzilla 90s and 2000, which were. Godzilla 90s and 2000s are like Godzilla.
Well, it depends.
But Space Godzilla is different.
It depends on how you want to break it out. Okay. So, Godzilla and Godzilla 2000 are obviously the two Godzilla characters. Space Godzilla is not Godzilla. He's
he's got like
closest that you
emeralds
get.
On his shoulder or whatever. He's got crystals.
He's got crystals.
He's the big baddie of this one. Right?
He is. Because, yeah. So we can get into like a whole like Space Godzilla origin, but Space Godzilla is more accurately Godzilla's brother. Than he is being Godzilla.
Who's their dad and their mom?
If you want to get into the whole... So Space Godzilla... Space Godzilla origin is that Godzilla's cells were carried into space either by Biollante or Mothra.
Those are G cells?
Yes, the G-cells were either carried into space by a Godzilla cells. Who's not in the game, but is a fully developed character that you can hack into the game.
I heard about that.
Or Mothra from the when Mothra traveled into space to destroy the asteroid that was coming to destroy the Earth. The 1992 is Godzilla versus Mothra.
Mon Mothra.
But either way, those Godzilla cells somehow got into space. They went into a black hole, came out through a white hole, and somewhere in the interim, they attached themselves to a crystallized being that became Space Godzilla, and Space Godzilla decided that he wanted to come to Earth, dominate Earth, and kill Godzilla. But he is a perfect clone of Godzilla in a way, in the sense that he's more his brother. Now, where the third Godzilla comes from in this movie is that Kiryu, or Mechagodzilla 3, is actually the original 1954's Godzilla bones slapped around essentially a mech body. And that's how you get Mechagodzilla 3.
See, that's interesting. I was going to say, my mind was melting for a second there.
That's part of the so most of the Millennium movies, which Godzilla 2000 is supposed to represent, is that a series of standalone movies. And the only two movies that are connected in the Millennium series are the Mechagodzilla duology. And the overarching theme of the Mechagodzilla duology is that the original Godzilla from 1954, his bones are slapped around the body of a mech.
Can we just stop for a second and just explain what this game is?
Oh, I thought we were doing really good. Explain the mythology behind the game.
But it's an arena fighter, right? So it's a 3D, you fight other kaiju. Yes. We haven't said that yet, and we are.
Oh, I thought we did say that.
12 minutes into the game, into the this thing.
Yeah, because you said it's not like a 2D versus 3D. Yeah,
right. Yeah. It's a 3D arena fighter where you're like in a city setting and you can destroy the cities, but the main goal is to destroy. It's a fighting game. So the main goal is to fight the other kaiju, take it out for the most part. There's challenge levels. There's like bonus levels.
Right.
But there's that aspect of it. And you can be all of these creatures from the rich history of Godzilla, which you are explaining the lore of. Like, you are a fucking lore book. You are the Godzilla lore book. I am very impressed.
I am something special. But I mean, I think as a game, though, I think when you compare it to King of the Monsters, for the Super Nintendo and King of the Monsters 2, I think this is like the 3D evolution of that.
Right. So... You mentioned, I was listening to one of your podcasts. What's the movie with the pollution monster?
Ghidorah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned you've seen that movie like 50 times.
If not more, yes.
So that's a random ass Godzilla movie that you've seen 50 times. So
Godzilla fights a pollution monster?
Yes.
Yeah, Ghidorah.
Yes. Oh, it's fantastic.
So I cannot imagine how many times you've watched some of these movies. That are actually good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, Ghidorah is a movie that I like quite a bit. But I mean, some of the movies that are represented in this film, I have probably watched literally hundreds of times. I mean, Godzilla versus Megalon was my first Godzilla movie. And Megalon and Gigan and Godzilla are all obviously represented in the series. And I have probably watched those games, movies well over 100 times.
Do you know why some of these, I'm curious about this, and I don't know if you would know, even you would know. Some of these naming conventions are like kind of Portuguese, or like they don't sound like they're Japanese names. They sound like they're romance language names.
Yeah,
a lot so like Anguirus or
Anguirus is
or Mogera.
Anguirus is more of a takeoff of like Ankylosaurus. Yeah, it's kind of more of like a Japanese take on that. Mogera, his name has kind of so Mogera originally appeared in War of the Mysterians, which is a kind of like a spin-off sci-fi opera that Toho was doing in the 60s, and it more has to do with like a tunneling effect that he had. So long story short, there are probably some came from writers who were kind of pulling in international references like you got to, but some are just Japanese terms that were kind of westernized.
Are there a lot of Japanese names versus American names for these monsters? Or are they all pretty much the same?
No, they got they're all pretty much
the same.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Like Mecha Godzilla is still Mecha Godzilla.
They all kind of
directly translate to what they are.
They gotta be Mecha.
Who's the clown looking robot guy?
Oh, Jet Jaguar?
Oh my god! So yeah. Judge Jaguar is part of my first ever Godzilla movie that I ever saw. 1972's Godzilla versus Megalon. It was also an episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000. I highly recommend watching it.
He gets super small. Campy. That's a special move.
Well, he starts as small. I guess we should probably take it back to the game. And I guess one of the things that, as I think has come through now, probably the first 15 minutes, is that I am a diehard Godzilla fan. And so when this game came out, I can probably understand for you guys who had not probably played it when it first came out. I probably played it for the benefit of this podcast. Like, mm-hmm. To me, as like a hardcore Godzilla fan, like I was like dying for something like this to come along.
Hell yeah.
Something to kind of try to represent like the powers of the superpowers and whatnot.
But I read something about this where like, in the game, beams come out of his hands, but he never has that power.
He never had that, no.
And there's like some other, like Mecha Godzilla can do something with missiles, and he doesn't do it in the game. Or aren't there other like moves that guys don't really have?
I mean, like some of it was like kind of embellished. Like Kiryu, or I think he's Mecha Godzilla 3 in this game. Like he never had like an energy beam to like stab a dude and throw it with. Jet Jaguar never had like lasers that came out of his hand. Angulus never had like a power breath attack. Like I think there was just kind of like a way to kind of make all the different characters like have some sort of
projectiles.
Needless to say, this was like your Godzilla video game wet dream when the Melee came out and saved the Earth.
Right. This is kind of like the expansion of Melee. So
I mean, there's a lot of characters. It's like a lot of fan service.
It's the no mercy of the Godzilla game.
Yeah, basically, because the games came after this had even more characters, but it was just so not polished.
I would say this game's pretty cool. It definitely has Smash Bros. Vibes because in the way you control your actions. So like different buttons and directions do different moves.
It's like a lot of over A, back A, up A kind of simple commands.
Right.
It's very arcadey in a way, but I also think like, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, that's Smash Bros.
Right. So as non-Godzilla fans, did you guys, so obviously I played this the day that it came out, and I'll talk about the day that it came out later, but
November 2004.
Specifically, November 2nd, 2004.
Oh.
Which is important, but we'll come back to
that. Is that your birthday?
No, but we'll come back to that. Mm. So when did you guys first play this game?
3 weeks ago?
Yeah, like
a month ago?
4 days ago? 5 days ago? Hmm. So never heard of it, honestly.
Really? I've heard of Melee. I never heard of Save the Earth.
Really?
Yeah.
So November 2nd, 2004 is important because that's the day before Godzilla's 50th birthday.
Oh.
So November 3rd, 1954 is when Gojira in 1954 is released Japan-wide. Technically, it was released in some parts of Japan in October 27th, but November 3rd is recognized as Godzilla's birthday, and it was to coincide with the final Godzilla movie of the Millennium Series, Final Wars, which came out the end of November of 2004.
So that brings me to a good point. So this game has like unlockables that you can use with in-game currency, because they didn't, there wasn't like adding your credit card and getting points. One of the unlockables is that it's concept art from, or Final like screenshots.
There's concept art from the development of the game, but which is actually quite interesting.
Screenshots from Final Wars.
Final Wars, yeah.
So one of the first things I unlocked was a picture from Final Wars, and I was like, fuck, I thought this was going to be like a movie.
Is it Godzilla in the crater?
Yeah. What's that?
Is it Godzilla in the crater?
I don't remember. I just remember it was a picture, and I was like, motherfucker, I thought this was going to be a video.
Right. So there were, I guess this is important. This is where we go through the different. So there's the story mode, which isn't much of a story mode. It's
very lacking of a story.
Right. It felt like a fighting game.
Yeah.
But even the end, I guess you have to play it on hard to get the ending cinematic.
And you have to play as Godzilla.
One, 2000. You have to play as Godzilla 2000.
Specifically Godzilla 2000?
Yeah, to get the ending cinematic.
Because I got to the end and it said just like game over. Like.
Right. So the background to that is like the
Did you beat it on easy or medium?
I don't know. I didn't set it.
Default to easy. And then
I probably beat it on easy then.
Because I played it on easy and I was like, first off, you have to go through like every monster. And I was like, oh, this is taking forever. Yeah. And then I was like, this is super easy. So I moved it to medium and I only got through like halfway because it got hard.
So the Pipeworks development team, they were kind of like under like a time crunch and they were hoping to have more story elements fleshed out with the Vortac, like returning from Godzilla Shrell Monsters Melee. The Vortac, by the way, are like they're completely original creation to this game series.
Oh, okay.
And like they're kind of meant to be like a stand-in of like the aliens from Planet X and the Keelax from Shrell Monsters, which this movie is, this game is essentially a takeoff of Shrell Monsters, where like aliens invade, but they control a whole bunch of Earth's monsters. Yeah. But this has the different caveat of Space Godzilla is like their ultimate weapon.
Versus King Ghidorah?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so, I watched Destroy All Monsters relatively recently.
Because Space Godzilla didn't exist in 1968.
Destroy All Monsters is very Wes Anderson-y. It's great. Like, the suits that they wear and, like, the technology they use is very, like, Life Aquatic. I love it.
I mean, that was originally supposed to be the final Godzilla movie.
I mean, Wes Anderson probably rips off them. That's what I should say.
It was so successful, though. They continued on for a long time. But anyway, so originally the development team was planning to also include two more monsters, at least two more monsters, with Biollante, who is fully programmed, and Titanosaurus, who is in the concept art that you can unlock in this game, but not in the game itself. But they kind of ran out of time when it came to release the game.
There was a ton of the guys they wanted to put in there. I read, Titanosaurus, and they had Showa Mechagodzilla they wanted to include, but they were like, well, we already included three other Mechagodzillas, so maybe we should...
Right, but in the next game, you'll get Showa Mechagodzilla.
Yeah, which... and then they had, like, for some reason, they added Rainbow Mothra to the box art.
Oh, that's in the Japanese version.
Yeah.
Gets Rainbow Mothra, because that series had already ended by that point, but yeah.
It was an error. That's why they added it.
But the Japanese art is fantastic compared to the American box art.
Oh, I've not seen it. I would imagine it would be better. Japanese box art is always better for some reason. But yeah, so there's the action mode, which is the story mode where you just fight other guys with challenges interspersed throughout.
Like the Street Fighter car level.
Yeah, basically, yes.
Yeah, I mean...
But less fun.
There was UFO Attack, which I had. There was the Battleships level, which I did.
Was there any way to get the UFOs besides shooting them with your projectile?
No, that was...
No,
you had to get that back. You can throw buildings.
Yeah.
But that was kind of hard to do, because you had to kind of, like, arch it a little bit.
There's Demolition, where you have to destroy the city, which I could never do, ever. It was super hard.
Right, I couldn't get the 15,000...
There's like a basketball mode and stuff like that, but the best of the challenge.
That's the challenge mode, right?
Right.
Or
right.
Did that show up in action?
I don't know. Does it show up in the action mode?
So the best challenge modes don't show up in the story mode, which is like kind of like the Star Fox style. Like there's like one level like where Mogira is going through like an asteroid field, where you fight like Space Godzilla in his like space form at the end. And then there's a Godzilla one where he's underwater and you fight Ibra, who that's like his only appearance in the game is like in that.
Hidora?
Ibra.
Oh, Ibra.
He's a giant shrimp.
Mm. Very cool.
You see.
Very cool. In terms of on the gameplay front, when you get to like the higher difficulties, it feels like some of the enemies have like tractor beams. Because you'll get close and they'll just kind of suck you in and pick you up. And they won't be close enough to pick you up, but it just kind of feels like they suck you in. It's like sucks.
The game moves you into
that. Yeah. Well, I think like one of like the bigger parts of the combat in this game to get used to is like the reach, the throw,
yeah.
The grapple. Like you got it, like the timing of that becomes very crucial in this game.
Yeah.
So like the way like this game kind of plays is
also like space, because you need to have space if you like guy, if you knock a guy over and he has that counter where it feels like No Mercy, where you can't be too
fighting
close
gaming.
To him. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Everybody, like when you get knocked down, everybody has move where you can kind of roll on your back right up against to somebody else and hit like an attack, and you'll do like a little like kind of like sweep or something like that and take somebody down. And, like you got to get used to blocking that.
Right.
You know, and everybody kind of has like, you have like a charged projectile and you kind of like a quick burst projectile, for the most part. And like, depending on who you're playing as, like some of those can do like, really heavy damage or just kind of like stun damage that kind of leads you into like really difficult combos to get out of. So what I always liked about it, like, I recognize it's not the deepest fighting game, but that everyone kind of played like a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's very Smash Brothers-y.
Yeah. I mean, for you guys who were obviously much newer to it, like, did you guys find that, like, there was someone that played really different or really unique to you guys?
I mean, the moves, they all had different move sets or different enough from each other that, yeah, there was a learning. Like, you knew that Godzilla could whip his tail at you and poke you from pretty far.
Or, like, a guy, was it the guy with the drill hands? Is that Mugira Gigan?
Or Gigan. Gigan has hooks. Mugira has drills.
Mugira, then. He could, like, spin you up in the air. Right. And there was certain guys.
See the one that tunneled underground?
Or Megalon. Megalon's the cockroach that had drills.
Oh, yeah.
Mugira's the mech.
There's a bunch of guys that can, like, tunnel underground. There's some guys that can fly that change up the gameplay a little bit.
The characters were more maneuverable than I expected. I thought they would be a little more, like, sluggish. But, like, the light jump.
At the same time, they're pretty sluggish.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Unless it's like someone who can fly.
But more than I expected. I mean, usually a lot of these games, I feel like, it's even wrestling games, like the characters are really slow and like oafish to run around with.
Right. Like, I appreciate that, like, Space Godzilla had to grow crystals out of the ground to, like, be, like, at his max potential. Or Rodan could fly and, like, whip around the map.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely interesting. It's different. It's, you're in a city. You can destroy the buildings. There's an army that's coming after you, somewhat half-assedly.
Yeah, more environmental like interactions would have been neat. I know you can, like, smash the buildings, smash like, and them, throw yeah. them, but you know it would have been cool if you could pick up a train and like, whip it around. Or if you could use like the helicopter, like if you could snatch a helicopter out of the sky and like
throw that, that's a
like
that's
mash it into someone's face.
That's like, very much King of the Monsters. That's the thing you can do in King of the Monsters. You can grab like the planes and throw them at each other and stuff. But
I would say so. The one thing that pissed me off about this game, kind of made me stop playing it, to be honest, is that you can unlock characters with like the currency that's in the game in order to. So I was gonna. My original goal was to unlock every character, and that's what I wanted to do. I get to unlock a character, and it's like divided into three different chunks of four characters. Mm-hmm. And when you select one of those four chunks and you unlock it with 60,000 points, after I'd been playing for 3 hours at accumulating these 60,000 points, you then have to unlock each individual character that you chose. And I was just like, fuck this. I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
It was like, because it's...
Well, especially because they only give you six to start with.
Right.
Yeah.
Six characters.
And then there's four chunk increments, right? Yeah. And then you get to see who's in that chunk.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you have to spend 30,000 or 20,000 on each individual character, at least in the first tier.
Right. So that part kind of sucks. And I guess if that was a game that came out in 2018, you'd probably basically have to like pay to unlock all those characters.
But it would be unacceptable for a game in 2019 to give you six characters, have you unlock another 12.
Did you play Godzilla 2015? Because weren't those like paid DLC characters?
No, you just had to play through the game a handful times to unlock people.
That game sucks. Sucks, by the way.
Yeah, that game tries to be a movie sim, whereas like this game tries to be like kind of like an arcade sim. But I mean, when this game first came out, I mean times were a little bit different in 2004. It was like you were still kind of getting input from like magazines and websites and stuff, and like it was no secret like when this game came out that there was a code that you could easily input in from like the title screen to unlock everything. And I think that's what probably most everybody did.
Yeah,
because like again, so, like, I mean, taking it back more personal to me, it was, like, Final Wars was coming out at the end of the month. And Final Wars was coming out in Japan at the end of the month. It wasn't coming out in America. So, for people like me, we bought this game. And, like, this was going to be, for Godzilla fans like me, like, to get these, like, screenshots from Final Wars, like, this was going to be, like, our first real access to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, we all kind of dumped that code in, like, the first day we got it, unlocked everything. We didn't really play through the game to unlock characters. We just dumped that code in. And then, you know, myself and other Godzilla fans, we really were just doing, like, the four-way melee matches against, like, all these, like, monsters that we really liked. And then we were kind of soaking in the Godzilla Final Wars concept art that came out.
Yeah, I'll say that the single player is long.
Yeah,
if you just play the single player, and it's like very one note and kind of gets kind of stale.
It's not very fun. Right, it's not very fun.
Yeah.
I think the most fun is like playing like the four-way matches either with like your friends
going to say multiplayer is probably the most fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this was on the PS2 anyway. This was a game that had PS2 multiplayer, but I did not have my PS2 hooked up to a modem at the time, so I never played it online, but I played it a lot.
Did it have modem to modem play?
In the PS2?
Yeah.
What are you saying, like peer-to-peer?
Or like SOCOM, you could attach a modem to...
Right, yeah. Because the Xbox had online multiplayer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I actually owned this for both PS2 and 360, but I never played it.
I think it was on the original Xbox is what it came out on first.
No, it was 360 for this.
The manual I looked at was a old Xbox with like the Live banner on it.
Melee came out in the original Xbox, ultimately, later.
This is Save the Earth, right?
Xbox. Not Xbox 360.
Because it'll save the Earth?
Yep.
I thought it was...
It probably was re-released.
On the 360. Maybe, yeah. I thought Melee came out...
It wasn't.
I thought... to throw you a bone.
Well, no, I'm just wrong.
We get facts right here on
the podcast. Because I thought Melee came out later on the Xbox with the bonus level, and then I thought this came out in PS2 and 360.
No, just PS2. PS2 and Xbox. Ooh. PS2, Xbox. The other one came out on GameCube and Xbox. So, and Unleashed came out on PS2 and Wii. That's right. There's a pachinko game. CR Godzilla Descent of the Destruction God.
Mm. Rolls off the tongue.
There's Crisis Defense. There's a Godzilla Online. Did you ever play that?
No, but I know about them. Okay. The pachinko games are a whole wild hoot.
Yo, there's a Shin Godzilla VR game for PlayStation 4.
It's not so much a VR game. It's more like a VR demo.
Oh, yeah. It says PlayStation VR demo.
Yeah. It's kind of cool, though, to watch.
Which City Shrouded in Shadow? What's that?
This is like not like podcast stuff, right? We're just like talking now at this point. So City Shrouded in Darkness is a like a PS4 game. Ooh,
it's a spiritual successor to Disaster Report?
Kind of, yeah.
That's what Wikipedia says. Yeah.
But I mean, like, I don't know how similar that plays, but like you essentially play as a human character with like some sort of giant monster attacking the city or some... And it's like they have... It's actually kind of interesting because it has Gamera, Godzilla, King Ghidorah, Mechagodzilla, Ultraman monsters.
Why didn't that come here?
It looks very outdated, like for a PS4 game. So like that's kind of what I suspect. Mm-hmm. But even people who have played it, like it doesn't sound like the greatest game. Like it sounds like it's fun, but it's like it's not the deepest game. It's like you are literally like just one human character like running through like a destruction map.
Okay, so now that we know the game, and it's just me and Matt talking because Chris is out of this discussion of where it ranks. So Matt, I think we're gonna rank it as our new number of 60 game, 60th game on our list.
Really?
Wait, the worst?
I mean, I think it's bad, but I don't think it's Jurassic Park Trespasser bad.
I don't think it's terrible. I don't think it's the greatest game.
Do you think this game is worse than Rampage?
Yes.
Good. I do too. I also think it's worse than Hexen.
Here's the one they'll say in the ranking stage. For Godzilla fans, there's not a lot of great Godzilla games out there.
Right. How many Godzilla fans are there out there?
How many Godzilla fans are out there? How many fans of Godzilla games, perhaps you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, for Godzilla fans, this is a great game. It's a very fan-servicey game.
It is very fan-servicey. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
I struggle to put this above F-Zero.
I couldn't find... So F-Zero's 40 out of 59 currently. You struggle... Yeah, I struggle to put it above F-Zero as well. But, I mean, do you really think it's better than 41, Madden 2004? You were on that, right?
I was. I mean,
I enjoy that game. I enjoy Madden 2004 better than this game.
I think this game fits around 44 to 46 between Eternal Darkness, Pokemon Snap, and Night Trap.
I could see this going above Eternal Darkness.
Then it comes to Super Hang On, and then after Super Hang On, hits the Tapper wall.
I don't think it
breaches the Tapper wall. A Tapper.
I'm staying out. I'm just commentating. That's all.
I also don't want to upset you, Chris.
Listen, it's okay.
I don't know if this is better than Eternal Darkness. I think Eternal Darkness is pretty bad. I think the combat in both games is similar. Kind of.
I will say, so the thing about this game, Chris, is that this game is very one note. Even though the guys are different, they still feel very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, like I'm not here to make some case that like this is like some deep fighting game.
Also, we didn't even know that there's two Boston levels in this game.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Well, the Fenway Park is in it, and so the Red Sox is the Red Mittens. I'm not here to make a case for this being like some deep great game. Like, I'm here as Godzilla fans.
It's better than Zone of the Enders. Let's just put it there. Yeah. Yes.
As Godzilla fans, this was a game that we were waiting for.
I enjoy this game.
Zone of the Enders could have learned a lot from this game, actually.
I enjoy this game. Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, what came out afterwards?
It came out
In 2004, and Zone of the Enders came out in 2001.
Oh, okay. All right. Not as bad as I thought then.
Yeah. I would say that I like this game better than Pokemon Snap.
Yeah.
Definitely better than Pokemon Snap. I think it's in terms of the amount of content that's in it, there's a lot more than Pokemon Snap. There's a lot more game modes. There's a lot more characters that you can be. There's a lot more shit to unlock.
Yeah. I think it's hard to sometimes value, like, what a multiplayer mode can offer.
Right.
But I think this has a high ceiling for the enjoyment you can get out of the multiplayer.
Yeah.
Especially since it offers four monster battles.
Right. And I would say, like, you know, you guys didn't play this game when it first came out. Like, mm-hmm. I did with friends that I kind of basically bullied into playing Godzilla stuff with me.
But even not the battles, like, I think the challenges can all be fun multiplayer, like the mini games. Even the basketball one seems like it could be goofy.
Right. I think the two knockoff Star Fox levels, I was actually, when I was replaying this game, I was like, these are actually really fun. It was like, I almost kind of wish there was like more of these.
I hated, so I played, I think I only got like four or five challenges when I was playing through it, and I hated most of them. Like, the UFO level is so annoying. The UFO
level sucks, but mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. even if UFO level,
the battleship level is not that bad because you can throw stuff at them and they're right there. But the UFO level, they go out, and for some reason, your energy beam doesn't have any range.
Right?
Yeah.
I think the
which single, is fucked up because it's an energy beam.
The single player content in this game is not good.
Right. No, I
think it's a side of
that. The story mode is not good. Like, the best stuff about this is like when you're playing the melee modes or you're playing like with friends playing this game. It's very
do fun. We put this, so I would say that Eternal Darkness probably has a better story because it has a story.
Yeah, it right. It,
and it's it has
a vision,
has cool complete sanity effects. Right. And do we put this game in between Pokemon Snap and Eternal Darkness?
I think so. Are you willing to accept that, Chris?
Listen, I'm not here to judge in any rankings.
What do you want to argue? Give me a pitch.
No, not really, because I mean, I came into this episode much different than I came into the other episodes, where I came here speaking as a representative
of Godzilla
fans.
My client, and Godzilla.
No, I mean, for Godzilla fans, it's a, like, just like it was when it first came out, it was like, this was the Godzilla game for Godzilla fans. And I think that's probably a different audience than probably like what like this game ranking is, because I think it probably appealed to some people who weren't necessarily playing all the games that are in this list.
I think that there's Godzilla games that go above this.
Like what?
I feel like there's some, are there like some gods,
I can imagine a Godzilla like, game yeah, that goes above yeah. this, but I don't know if they exist.
They do. Let me tell you, they do.
There's no like Super Famicom game that's like a one-on-one fighting game that's more fun.
So Godzilla Kaiju Daikessen like is good, but I think this is like more.
What about the Nintendo like
Monster of Monsters yeah. is good, but it's very repetitive. Mm. Like that's like the problem. Like if they like, yeah. So there's two Nintendo games, Save the Earth is better than that. There's two Super Nintendo games, the Super Godzilla and Godzilla Kaiju Daikessen. Like, I think this is better than that. I think that Tournament Fighter is neck and neck with this. Then you get some Dreamcast games that are like kind of like on the rail shooters that are terrible.
I think Godzilla games seem to be like a little too beholden to the lore. I think if you made a Godzilla game that was like a side-scrolling sort of beat-em-up, where you're just going through this endless sort of city,
well, that's,
beating up a bunch of monsters.
The thing is, like, King of the Monsters 2, which is that game that you're describing.
But even if it was just like a single-player game.
Monsters was like that. There was some of the Game Gear and some of the Game Boy.
I enjoy King of the Monsters more than this game.
Monsters.
Oh, the NES one.
No, the arcade game. The Neo Geo SNK game, King of the Monsters.
I think that's more fun.
Really?
Too. Yeah.
No. King of the Monsters is not a Godzilla game.
I know.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought we were talking about Godzilla games, but I mean, like...
No, well, I mean, come on.
I think what I'm saying is I think there's too much of a reliance on, like, these monsters being these huge, you know, standalone sort of creatures.
Right. And there's just never historically been good Godzilla games.
Right.
This is kind of, I think, the top of the heap.
I would be interested in like a game that really got the physics down of like punching a building and like seeing like a part of a building break.
Right. Not that it just shakes until it gets hit three or four times.
Right, and then falls down.
Yeah, right.
Or like you can like just pick up a building and throw it. I think that's not.
Right.
I think like when you have a destructible environment where it's like actually there are like
crumbling.
There's a superstructure to the building, there's a facade to the building, and you hit it and you can see it all shake and how it.
Honestly, Rampage World Tour does a decent job of that, where you can kind of poke out parts of the building and then you kind of leave a frame and then it topples. That at least
I'm talking about like in a 2019 sense.
A Rainbow Six Siege sort of destruction.
And I feel like the PS3 / PS4 Godzilla game tries to do that and it just doesn't do it very well.
Like, it's just really hard to make like a Godzilla game or like
probably the Godzilla PS4 game because you know what it has?
What?
Tank controls.
Oh, all right.
I would say it's really hard to make a Godzilla or like a Superman game when you have like tremendous powers because it's like, what do you do with that?
Right.
How do you make a story around that?
Right.
And how do you make a story when you're a big fucking monster?
You know, there are Godzilla movies they always thought could, like, translate well to video games. And like,
but are you being Godzilla, or are you being a little character on the ground?
I always thought you could make, like, a multifaceted, like, Invasion of the Astro Monster, for example, or Godzilla versus Monster Zero. Like, I always thought, like, it was like, that's the perfect balance of giant monster movie and space opera. And, like, you could make a game around that with, like, different sort of gameplay. You have giant monsters. Like, that's a different topic. But it's like, nobody's ever done that. And instead, like, Godzilla games focus on one specific area of Godzilla movies.
Right.
And I think that's, like, kind of where it gets lost.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, hey, if anyone out there wants to pay me money to develop a Godzilla game, and then, you know.
Yeah, I just want to play a Godzilla game where I'm Godzilla, I'm running through a city, I've beaten up like 40 King Kong-looking dudes, and then I get to the end of the level,
Baragon.
And it's like a Contra-looking like thing 5 times as tall as Godzilla, and he has to beat it up.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
Did you know what, so I've been watching slowly a lot more Godzilla stuff over the course of the last couple of years. And I tried to watch that Godzilla anime on Netflix.
So, yeah, the first two parts, not good.
No.
Third part, fantastic.
Really?
Yes.
I like anime. I've watched Attack on Titan. I love Gundam. I've watched a lot of Dragon Ball. And I tried to watch those Godzilla anime, and I was like, this is trash.
Yeah, the first two were not good.
I watched the first two. I didn't watch the third one because it was so trash.
Planet Eater is not different in pacing, but Planet Eater is essentially, if you, like, I wish the first two were a little bit more developed in the concept they're trying to get to with the third one. It's like, essentially, you took, like, Cthulhu mythos and slapped them around King Ghidorah and made him representative of, like, the Cthulhu mythos. Because that's kind of, like, what it all kind of builds to. And, like, in the third movie, like, it's not an action movie, but it's, like, it just kind of gets into, like, the bigger concepts and ideas it was exploring. Like, it's so fucking good.
Just the characters were just so, like, anime tropey of being, angry.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, I'm going to kill you, Godzilla, for destroying my family.
Yeah. Haruo is fucking terrible.
Yeah, so I couldn't get over that. And then they had, like, when they invaded Earth, because the whole thing is that the concept is that Godzilla has just taken over Earth. They have to
reclaim the planet.
They have to reclaim Earth.
So there's two prequel novels that are like, that sound like, when I read synopses of them, they sound fucking amazing. Because it's about Godzilla taking over the Earth slowly over the course of about like 50 years.
But how they take it over with the like scooter things that they drive is so dumb.
Yeah. Those animes are kind of
so bad.
The first two are definitely a lost cause. But like, for whatever reason, like when the third one came out, I was like, I fucking love this third one.
Well, King Ghidorah is awesome, just in general. And it's like, I will say that King Ghidorah is like one of the weakest characters in this game, but in my opinion.
I don't know. I didn't think so. I thought like...
But yeah.
Yeah.
So we're starting at 45?
I think it's our new number 45.
Eternal Darkness, but above Pokemon Snap.
After Eternal Darkness, but above Pokemon Snap. I don't think you can really argue with the science.
It's clear as day.
I think the science is sound. I'm sorry, Chris.
I'm good with all that.
You look very upset. No, let's just I'm not. Put it this way.
I've made it very clear. If you were a Godzilla fan listening to this podcast, this is the number one Godzilla game and the greatest games of all time. It's number 45. So in the Godzilla genre, this is number one.
All right.
So there you go.
That's fair.
Like, that's it. That's all I was here to say, you know?
All right.
And I was here to give a little context.
Everyone's happy.
I was here to give it a little context of the game, some history.
No one can say when they listen to this podcast that we didn't know what we're talking about in terms of Godzilla.
That's right. If you want to hear more about Godzilla movies, find me on the podcast Moto Island. You will get this level of detail on every random-ass Godzilla movie that has come out.
And like a dozen, at least, wrestling references in every episode.
We've tried to get a little... Well, I've tried to get a little better about that, so...
Well, good luck to you. Godspeed. And thank you for coming on to our podcast.
Thanks, Mike.
And appreciate talking it. About Godzilla Save the Earth.
I'll see you to talk about some non-Godzilla games someday soon.
Yeah, we don't have one lined up. We should line up another.
No, we do have one
lined up. Well, we have one.
I don't know when it's going to come out, but...
some point.
Well, we're going to do Streets of Rage at some
point. Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah. I forgot about that one. Yeah. We have two lined up then. Good.
Wait, what's the other one?
I can't talk about it. There's a game coming out in March that we're doing it before it comes out. Remake.
The RPG.
Yes.
Oh my god. I gotta start playing it.
We're gonna do another RPG. Amazingly. I think it's our third or fourth RPG on the list that we'll be doing.
It'll be the third in the series in particular.
Amazing. Until then, Godspeed, gentlemen. Chris.
It's been great.
Thank you. Matt, it's been great.
Godzilla yeah, speed.
Follow us on the Twitter at itsobedpod. itsobedpod@gmail.com is the email address. And subscribe, like us, leave a comment on the iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, etc. This is It's So Bad, and we'll be back next week with another episode. Thank you.